like to just welcome all of our visitors here today. It's good to see everyone. And for those that you don't know, our pastors are actually on their way back from Nashville right now. So they had a, they went to the Amy Grant Christmas tour in Nashville, so that was a good time for them. So, but they will be here Christmas Eve, so if you join us for a Christmas Eve service, it starts at 6. It's so easy for us to fall into and cultures and traditions of the holidays with the busyness and everything that we have to do, and just with the mindset. And you know, I find myself doing the same thing, and I have to keep reminding myself that, okay, Christmas is Christ's birth. Easter signifies his death and resurrection and ascension, his ascension to heaven, and that he's like in this faraway realm at another place, you know, waiting for another time for us to connect with him, that someday that, you know, when he comes back, that we'll be connected with him, and he'll return to take us home, and he'll set up his kingdom, and, you know, and that, like, sometimes that seems so far away, and it doesn't seem like it's something that we can have right now, that we can live day to day, and that's just what my message is, that God is with us, and he's with us now. The Holy Spirit resides in those who believe and accept and proclaim him as our Lord and Savior. And he's closer than any of us can imagine. We have access to him 24/7, 365 days a year. We can experience his presence. We can experience his presence in tangible ways. We can hear his voice, and we can see the beauty of him. And the ways that we do that is just, we have to press in. It's, you know, we talk to him. That's one of the big ways that I experience his presence. And it's just like I'm talking to, you know, my family or friends just throughout the day. I'm just constantly carrying on a conversation with them. And another thing is I just love to worship. I just love to put music on. And I just get a picture of him. A picture of him standing at the right hand of the Father, alive and just interceding and just waiting and wanting to communicate with me. And I just get that picture, and I just sing to him and just love on him. And those are ways that we can experience his presence. I like to read out of John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. And this tells us in the beginning. This is a different in the beginning. Like Genesis is in the beginning when God was starting to create everything. This was in the beginning before that beginning. In the very beginning, God was already there, and before his face was his living expression, which was the manifestation, and the Greek word for that is the blueprint. So Jesus, the manifestation and the blueprint describes him. He was there. He was with God, yet fully God. They were together, face to face. In the very beginning, and through his creative inspiration, the living expression made all things. For nothing has existed apart from him. Life came into being because of him. For his life is light for all humanity. And this living expression is the light that bursts through gloom, the light that darkness could not diminish. Then suddenly a man appeared who was sent out from God's presence, a messenger named John. That's John the Baptist. For he came to be a witness, to the point the way to the light of life, and to help everyone believe. John was not that light, but he came to show who is. For he was merely a messenger sent to speak the truth about the light. For the light of truth was about to come into the world and shine upon everyone. The Creator entered into the very world he created. Yet the world was unaware. He came to the very people that he created, to those who should have recognized him, but they did not receive him, but those who embraced him and took hold of his name were given the authority to become who they really are, the sons of God. He was not born by the joining of human parents or from natural means or by a man's desire, but he was born of God. And so the living expression became a man and lived among us. And we gazed upon the splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. John taught the truth about him when he announced to the people, "He's the one. Set your hearts on him. I told you he would come after me." Even though though he ranks far above me, for he existed before I was even born, and now out of his fullness we are fulfilled. And from him we receive grace heaped upon more grace. Moses gave us the law, but Jesus, the anointed one, unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor except the uniquely beloved Son, who is cherished by the Father and held close to his heart. Now he leads the way to the place of honor at the Father's side. Jesus, he came as the light of the world. And it says that, you know, he is the creator. That creator came to live in his creation, us. We're created to be temples of the living God, for him to dwell in us, God with us. He is wants to dwell in us and work through us. He came to the light as the light of the world. Then he passed the baton to us, announcing that we are the light of the world. Jesus came as the miracle worker. He said that we would do greater works than he did in John 14:12. Then he pulled the greatest surprise of all, saying, in John 14:17, he told us that the Holy Spirit is with us, but he's going to be in you. But he needed to go to the Father first before he could send the Holy Spirit. Jesus, who illustrates to us what is possible for those who are right with God, now says that his people, that we're to be the tabernacle of God on planet Earth. Paul affirms this revelation with statements such as, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? And Ephesians 22, and you are a dwelling place of God. If the Father filled the Old Testament houses, you know, when they built it, they gave the blueprint to Moses and for the first tabernacle, and then King Solomon built it, and they built the temples. If he built those houses and filled them with his glory, they were built with human hands. You know, he gave instructions, but they built them with human hands. How much more would he want us to be filled? Because he built us. He created us with his hands, his own hands. So how much more does he want his presence to reside in us? And he breathes in us the breath of God, life. And he wants us to be filled with that glory. More so than that glory that filled the old, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacles and the temples. We have that resurrection glory. That resurrection power that Jesus is just waiting for us. It's there. We just need to release it. We just need to tap into it, to just get into his presence, to just be able to just, you know what, God, just you can have all of me, Jesus. Just have all of me. Just do with me what you want. Just use me to be able to just share love with people, to be able just to point them to you, because he loves each one of us so much. He loves us all so much. Salvation was not the ultimate goal of Christ's coming. It was the immediate target. It was a target. It was like a marker. If you're going bowling, you know, I'm not very good at that. I usually get better at rolls, but, you know, you aim for those things on the aisle, you know, to hit the pins you want. You know, that's like a target. You know, that's salvation. Yes, we need that. We have to have salvation in order to receive the rest. But the salvation was not the ultimate goal. It was for him to fill his body with the glory of his presence. Without accomplishing redemption, there was no hope for the ultimate goal, which was to fill each born-again person with the Holy Spirit. God's desire is for each believer to overflow with himself, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So how are we made complete? How are we able to tap into that fullness and of life and power of God? And it's through love, and it's through loving God. John 14:15-21. Starting in verse 15. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, he took away the sin in all of our lives. He took away the sin, our past sin, our present, and the stuff that we don't even know about yet that we're going to have to deal with. He took away that sin. It's not there. Now, when we love him and we're full of his presence and his Holy Spirit, that empowers us not to choose to live that way, not to choose to be disobedient to the Lord. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you will know him instantly because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer, but you will see me because I live again and you will come alive too. When that day comes, you will know that I am the living Father and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commandments. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by the Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. The key is love. We just need to open up our hearts and just pour our love out on Jesus. And even if it's just telling him through the day, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for doing that. I love you. I love you. You know, even if you're not feeling love, because some, you know, it's so easy to attach love to an emotion, but it's not. It's a choice. I choose to love. I choose to love you, God. I choose to love Jesus, even though I'm going through this major trial, and I don't see any way out right now, but I love you no matter what. I love you. I know you're there with me. I know you're going to guide and direct me and give me wisdom. I love you. You know, it's those days that we're down and we just don't, that we feel hopeless and we feel alone, that we're like, Jesus, I love you. I love you because you love me. I just love you because I love you. I love you. Jesus prayed a prayer, and this was after he had talked to the disciples, and he had told them about the Holy Spirit, and he had talked about being a living vine, and he talked to his disciples about some of what's to come, and then this is his prayer that he prayed. The first part of it, he is praying about the Father's work, finished work. So John 17, verse 1. This is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son, so that I will magnify your glory. You have already given me authority over all the people, so that I may give the gift of eternal life. To all those whom you have given to me, eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent. I have shown the world your glory by faithfully doing everything you've told me to do. So, my Father, restore me back to the glory where we shared together when we were face to face before the universe was created. And that face to face, when you look at the Aramaic text, I'm not sure if it's the Aramaic or the Greek, but it's it implies that intimacy of sitting on the Father's lap, that closeness of just like you'd be sitting on his lap and just looking into his face. Starting with verse 6, Jesus prays for the disciples. Father, I have manifested who you really are, and I have revealed you to the men and women whom you gave to me. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And then they fastened their word firmly to their hearts. And now at last they know that everything I have is a gift from you. And the very words you gave to me to speak, I have passed on to them. You have received your words and carry them in your hearts. They are convinced that I have come from your presence, and they have fully believed that you sent me to represent you. So with deep love, I pray for my disciples. I'm not asking on behalf of the unbelieving world, but for those who belong to you. Those you have given me, for all who belong to me now belong to you. And all who belong to you now belong to me as well. And my glory is revealed through their surrendered lives. Holy Father, I am about to leave this world to return and be with you. But my disciples will remain here. So I ask that by the power of your name, protect each one you have given me and watch over them so that they will be united as one, even as we are one. While I was with these you have given me, I have kept them safe. By the power of your name, not one of them is lost, except the one who was destined to be lost. So that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I am returning to you. So, Father, I pray that they will experience and enter into my joyous delight in you, so that it is fulfilled in them and overflows. I have placed your word within them, and that is why the unbelieving world hates them, for their allegiance is no longer to this world, because I am not of this world. I am not asking that you remove them from the world, but I ask that you guard their hearts from evil, for they no longer belong to this world any more than I do. Your world is truth, so make them holy by the truth. I have commissioned them to represent me, just as you commissioned me to represent you. And now I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice, so that they will live as fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. Isn't that a beautiful prayer that he had prayed for his disciples, the ones that were with him the whole time? So starting in verse 20 is our prayer from him for us. And I ask not only for these disciples, but also for those who will one day believe in me through their message. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us, so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them. The creator of the universe lives fully in us. That's just, oh my gosh, it's wonderful. So that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. The Father loves us with the same passionate love that he has for Jesus. Father, I ask that you allow everyone you have given to me to reign at our side, for I want them to be where I am. Then they will see my full glory, the very splendor you have placed upon me, because you have loved me even before the beginning of time. You are my righteous Father, but the unbelieving world has never known you in the perfect way that I know you. And all those who believe in me also know that you have sent me. I have given them the revelation of who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them, so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. And that's the message for today, that we would experience him in the way that he is experienced with the Father, that we had that revelation of who he is, and that he would continue to become more and more real to us, that it's not just like for a later date, a later time, it's for now. And that we would experience him to the fullness. We're going to have some communion this morning as part of our Christmas celebration. You know, as a time to just honor and celebrate and just to meditate on what he's done for us. And we're going to they're going to set it over on the altar. It'll be on those sides. And you can just come up. We have a song playing. And just come up and take communion. And then when we're done, or if you would like prayer for anything, the youth will be up on each side, and they'll be standing there. If you would like prayer for anything, they'll pray with you. But this morning, I just want us to experience him. I just want us to remember him. I just want us to realize that he is life, and he's the life that's in us. And The scripture for our communion is from Luke 22, 14 through 20. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Made this quote this week. We don't come to church just to be spiritual for an hour or so and then go home to be physical. We live in the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are one with him. This is what it means. He was born for us and took on our flesh so that we could be born again and take on his divine nature and live a new kind of life. This is what Christmas means. No more beating on closed doors, but an open heaven. Angels ascending and descending freely, our prayers reaching the throne of God unhindered, and the Holy Spirit constantly pouring upon us like sunshine from a cloudless sky. God is with us, Emmanuel. Will you have a closing song, and then we'll pray and dismiss.
Silent night.
there's plenty, so everyone take one. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you that you are with us here and always and forever. And Lord, just this Christmas season and beyond, just continue just by your Spirit, just to reveal to us more of who you are. And we just open up those floodgates of love for you, Lord, and we just pour them out on you, and we just thank you. We thank you that the Creator of the universe came to live in this creation, that you love us that much. Oh, Lord God, you are so awesome. And we just worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And if I don't see those, Christmas Eve, have a very Merry Christmas.